Hey, what's up, everybody? Got a good one today. Have you ever just feel like you're spinning your wheel sometimes at the practice and you're not bringing the best energy? And you know, we want to bring the best energy for our team, but sometimes it's hard to bring that energy when we don't feel that way inside. I got somebody on today. We're talking about how to get that enthusiasm back and how to bring that into your practice and get that energy. And what kind of goals can we set for ourselves in a little bit more realistic way so that we don't overdo it, but so that we can still have something big to go for, something that's going to light us up, make us want to wake up in the morning and show up at practice and just have that contagious energy that just redefines the culture of your practice. So I got a really great guest. You're going to like this one. And we go deep on goals. It's not too late. I know we're here in March. If you didn't set your goals for the year, listen to this one before you do it. All right, let's get to the interview.
The Dental Practice Heroes Podcast, where successful dentists share their best systems, methods, and lessons learned to help you achieve early financial freedom through profitable practice ownership. We're here to talk about operating a successful dental business through communication, strong leadership, and by being the hero for your patients and your team.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes Podcast, where we believe that armed with knowledge and intentionality, anyone can become the hero that their practice needs and deserves. I want to welcome my guest. This is his third time on the podcast. He has some previous episodes, Integrity and Being a King, as well as Resilience and the Grind. Go check those out. He's a dental practice owner, does a ton of dentistry still, three-day dentist, creator and founder of the Limitless Dentist Academy. Also, fellow podcaster, Jumpstart with Jeff is the name of his podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, Dr. Jeff Booski. What's happening, Booski?
What's up, Paul? Good to see you, man. Man, fantastic being back here. I appreciate you having me on. And hello, everybody. Looking forward to a great show.
It was funny. Dude, we're like 30 minutes in here. And people are like, what do you mean you're 30 minutes? Because this is what happens when we get together.
We just have to press record early.
I know. We should just do the candid conversation. So If anyone hasn't heard about you or doesn't know who you are, I would hope they do. But I mean, guess, give the listeners a brief summary, your career, what led you to your point today. I know you got a lot, but as much as you can give, go for it.
Man, it's crazy. You sit there and look back and it's like a blink, right? I sat there and I'm like, damn, done the math. I'm like, damn, I've been practicing now 27 years. Holy cow. And came down briefly after a stint of where I was ready to actually walk away from dentistry after about 6 years. And that was just because, like, look, at that point, I think I was seeing, I don't know, 5-6 new patients a month in the practice that I was in as an associate. And I was just like, man, if this is what dentistry is supposed to be, I was so disillusioned and disappointed. I was like, I didn't sign up for this at all. So I was ready to walk away. And then I met my partner, Bruce Baird. He and I actually met and had a cocktail. And he's like, man, I just think that you just really need to maybe have the right opportunity in front of you. And then he wasn't even really looking for something with him, but we talked in a little bit. And then lo and behold, he had an opening come up and he's like, hey, I don't know if you're interested in this. So I came down to Granbury, Texas, the booming metropolis of Granbury, which is all of like 7,000 people, but it was a little bit west and south of Fort Worth. Man, it's been just an awesome experience. So Bruce and I practiced together for 17 years. I miss him because it was just great fun within the office. We had to hire two docs to replace him because he is a very productive dentist. And I mean, that fits being the leader of Productive Dentist Academy. But man, yeah, right now, most of my career is spent, we still do full mouth rehab. I still do some quadrant dentistry, but mostly focused on full arch dental implants. I'm loving that. It's been in my lane and my wheelhouse for quite a while. We dropped the cash flow to get the digital workflow put into place a couple of years ago. And that's just been remarkable. That's just been a game changer. And so it's fun. And also too, that's been really reinvigorating for my team. Not only that, but then we added in medical insurance billing, which is something I never thought we would do. But we found the right company to work with and it's been fantastic. But more so, what's really cool about that, as I was saying, is like I sat down with my core group because we have, we've got 24 ladies in the office. So we've got a big team.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I sat down with my core group and I just said, all right, look, let me ask you guys a question. I said, if we could finish up our careers doing anything that we wanted in the practice. And we were just all out to dinner. I said, what would that look like for each one of you? And we just sat there and just went around the table, just little bit by little bit. One of the girls, her name's Gay. She's awesome. She's been in the practice for 35 years now. And she's just amazing, chair side, surgical. And she was just like, well, I think I would really like to switch away from chair side and get into medical billing. She's like, I just see it as such a way that we can offer so much help to people that might not ever be helped. And like, you could see that spark in her eye, right? And like excitement.
That's awesome.
When somebody's been doing something for so long that it just feels like the hamster wheel. And this was like invigorating. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, I think that would be really cool. I said, well, let's make that happen. And then all of a sudden, like you could just feel the energy shift at the table. And then everybody was like, well, what do I really want? You know, and it was awesome. So we spent probably about an hour and a half at dinner that night. And magically, dude, everybody there were like, by the end of it, it was like, we can make this all work and get you guys exactly where you want to be at in the practice. And it served the practice well so we can all win. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, this is cool. It was super exciting. It's been amazing since. With that excitement, that carries forward into how we show up then as a team. That carries forward to how we relate to our patients, how we treat each other. All of those are factors. And part of it, I would love to say, hey, I'm responsible for all of it. But the truth is that as a great leader, I think you have to create great leaders in your practice as well. And they can also have an opportunity to set the tone for a lot of the rest of the team to go from. Because look, I don't want to run around and police 24 women. That's not what I want to do. I want to have amazing people to be able to talk to and communicate a vision to, then that get enrolled in that vision and then they take that on as well. And that's one of the things I think that I've learned is that, man, if we can have a vision that's much bigger than ourselves and something to believe in, so hence our why, if you want to put it that way, then that gives everybody a direction and something to pull towards and to go towards. And then we can always come back to that and it keeps us grounded. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I have an opportunity to practice 3 amazing days a week, Monday through Wednesday. And then the rest of my time, I'm coaching men in dentistry, male dentists, and we really do a lot with lifestyle. So kind of more like human performance, really meaning that we're optimizing things across 4 areas in a man's life, across their body, so their health, their fitness, their being, their spirituality, their purpose, their balance. So meaning that their relationships that they are intrinsically intertwined with, especially their spouse, their children, but it also extends on to other family and then team members and people in their life that they care about. Then we obviously look at our business, so our practice and our bank accounts. And what we really focus on is how do we get all 4 of those areas integrated, working in harmony and synergy all at the same time? Because what I found is it's easy to get 1 or 2 of those areas working well, but to get all 4 areas working well at best, that's a lot more difficult unless you've got a really great plan to work with.
I got a question for you is that you mentioned you guys are sitting around this table, you're having this conversation and you guys are excited. And I think there's part of that I always say, okay, don't live in the future, live in the present. But I think there's some element of like future change that gives us this energy and inspiration. And I know you've been through parts in your career where you've been kind of maybe have not brought the best energy to the practice. And I think there's something to be said about the energy the owner brings. It sets that tone for the energy of the practice. But then also that energy that comes from being forward-looking and where are we taking? Where is this evolution? I just love that whole idea. I mean, what have you noticed in your experience of the energy that you bring and how that rubs off on the team?
Ever since we started using Relevance Online Marketing, I could see a drastic improvement in our SEO. I mean, we are ranking so much higher when searching for dentists in our hometown. We are seeing more new patients and certainly someone you should give a look at if you're considering new marketing companies.
Just absolutely awesome. I would recommend Relevance to any practice owner who wants to see what proper marketing can do for their office.
I want to thank Dr. Paul Etchison for introducing me to Relevance Marketing. They've done a great job, very thorough. I'm happy with the results. Thank you guys for all of your help.
We never truly realized how powerful this could be. It's really changed our business for the best.
I think they're definitely worth every penny. Easy to communicate with, easily accessible, does what I ask, and even shows me some reports when things are going a little bit off track and what they're doing about it. You know, it's just a level of service I just haven't really received from other marketing agencies.
Since we've been using Relevance, we've seen a tremendous growth in our business. I would recommend their services to just about anybody. Search engine optimization and getting your ranking on Google to be the highest it can possibly be. The efforts by Relevance and their team, and the efforts and the things that they've done with the SEO, as well as the social media. Highly recommend it.
So what are you waiting for? This is Dr. Paul Etchison telling you to get a free consultation with Relevance. As a listener of the podcast, you get the first month free, and there is zero obligation to continue if you aren't blown away. Make this the year you grow your practice to the next level. Go to RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com to set up a free consultation. That's RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com.
Man, I'll tell you something that a coach of mine once said that's always stuck with me. And he said, man, he goes, if you want or desire a new future, meaning that if you look at everything today and you're like, yeah, I think maybe today's okay. Or maybe you even hate today. Who knows? But if you're looking at today and today's not exactly where you want to be. And so you look out and you say, hey, I want to create a new future. The best way to create a new future is to create a new past. And the only way to create a new past is to do something radically different today. And so that ties into that energy. If you want to look at saying, hey, this is how I'm going to show up, this is how I'm going to lead, that means the energy that you bring into it has to be powerful. That means the energy that you bring into it, you've got to have a capacity to be able to house all of the chaotic information, all of the chaotic emotions that come at you every day, all of the chaotic examples of maybe your schedule, everything there, because let's face it, we are firefighters to some realm. We have a lot of stuff coming at us throughout the day, and we have to put ourselves in a place of power. And what I mean by that is give ourselves a place to have the capacity and the wherewithal to house all of that. I look at myself and I like, yeah, I'm a certain amount of crazy, right? My wife has to have a great amount of capacity to deal with my crazy. Right?
My wife would, she would agree with that as well.
Yeah. And also vice versa. I mean, listen, all of us on the planet, we all have a degree of crazy. And especially as a spouse, you've got to be able to have a big enough container to house all of that and to have that energy to take that on and have fun with it and make light of it. And then also too, to know when to really, hey, I need to sit and be with this. And to really understand this is serious subject matter, but sometimes also take and lighten it with that. I think that's also just part of being able to read energy and read people well. And that's just something that develops, I guess, over time. And the more reps you get, the better you get. And that's just, there's no shortcut with that. Let's put it that way for sure. The way that I get to communicate with people now and my patients now, I look back at the guy who I was 10 years ago, man, that guy couldn't even hand this guy a cup of coffee at that time. So it's like, It's different people as we go through our seasons in life. And I think that's part of the magic of it is you learn so much along the way, but as long as you're putting it into application, then it becomes meaningful. If you're just learning to learn, then it's just entertainment. Learning put to application is a lot more meaningful. And like, I think the old saying, knowledge is power. I think that's bullshit. I think knowledge is great, but if you don't apply it, then you don't have any way to really transform or to create results. Knowledge put into play and put into action now creates an opportunity to get a result. And when that's yours, that's what allows you to create your wisdom. When you have that, now that gives us an opportunity. And that's one of the greatest things too, man. There's so many people that worry about like imposter syndrome. Like you go to a continuing education, you hear somebody say something, you want to operate like this person, or you look up to this coach or anything, but you're worried, oh, I'm going to feel like an imposter. Listen, there's not another person on the planet that is going to say your words or speak your words, or that's going to think your thoughts, or that's going to feel your feelings, or that's going to experience your experiences. So when you take all those things and you put that together and you look at your experiences, your adventures, what you created, the actions that you took or the actions that you didn't take, those are the things that define you. And those are the things that also allow you to be authentic. Nobody else is going to have those experiences. That's one of the things that we can look at. If you want to just look at saying, hey, how's an easy way to put a stop to that, to imposter syndrome? It's just looking at, how do I show up authentically? How do I show up and just be me? And that's it. I'm not trying to be somebody else. Everybody else is taken as far as I know. So might as well be me and just show up and be the best version that I can be. And you know what? They're going to either love me or hate me, but that's great. I'm definitely not vanilla. I'm not sitting along the lines of the vanilla middle guy. I'm not that guy. But I will be where I want to be just because this is how I'm going to show up and this is how I'm going to choose to have the energy to be here. And I think that's such a big, important part of our leadership and how we show up with our teams, especially. I'm super excited to hear all the things that you've got going on and the leadership things that you've got going for dental offices and their teams. That's so exciting and so needed. It's so needed today because I think I would love to hear your feedback and your take on this, because I think there's this perception that great leaders are just born, and I don't think that's true at all. I think leaders are made. It's through the time and it's through the grit. It's through the experiences. It's through the bad decisions. It's through the winning decisions. And that's just what starts to create our reality. But when we learn from those bad decisions and we can take that and suck out the lesson from there and like, okay, that didn't work out quite the way that I thought. Okay, let's just course correct.
That's what I noticed with is that I feel like good leaders are people that can be introspective and realize when something didn't go right and they do the right thing for it. And to speak on your point about the energy thing, I still get this. People at my practice will tell me, gosh, it's just so nice when you're here. And I'm like, why? Why is it so nice?
Right.
I just wish you were here more. Why? They're like, and then one said, I don't know, it just runs different when you're here. But I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything special. And then one person said, you just bring better energy to the office. I said, oh man. Now I recently had I was off last week and I had an assistant go, gosh, you just don't seem yourself lately. I've noticed it. That was sitting with me for a little bit. Last night, I've just been busy as hell. I've just been burning at both ends right now, trying to get this program off the ground and trying to get it finished, because I made the mistake of starting it thinking, oh, I got plenty of content. I'm just going to rearrange it. No. And then I'm like, I'm going to re-record everything. So it was a bigger project than I thought. But I stayed up last night until like 5 o'clock in the morning and just wrote down, what are the things that I hate doing? I absolutely freaking hate doing. And what are the things I'm kind of okay with? And what do I love doing? And there's something powerful about sitting down and writing down things. And there were so many things on that hate list that they keep me from doing the stuff I like doing. But these hate, I mean, I hate to say it because I'm like Mr. Like Delegate. I am still doing bookkeeping, not at my practice, but with my apartment buildings, because I can do it. There's not a lot of expenses. It doesn't take long. But then when you got 7-8 entities at this time of the year, I'm just MFing this thing the whole time. And I'm just like, how am I still, I was talking to somebody on the phone. He's like, how are you still doing this, Mr. Delegate Everything? I'm like, it wasn't a big deal until I got 8 of them.
Yeah.
So I woke up today. I got some direction. I got a goal. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I'm bringing on a personal assistant. I'm bringing on some help. I'm going to delegate and automate as much as I can. And I woke up excited today, really excited. Nice. And I'm going to bring that into the practice. How can a practice owner utilize that goal setting to bring some energy, some enthusiasm? And like, I know you're big on goals. Yeah. Like, just talk a little bit about a goal setting, because I know you are like I feel like you're the Tony Robbins of dentistry, man. Like, you literally are. Like, you're that guy. I want to hear what you have to say about that and goals and stuff.
I think it's great. It's funny because looking back, I would say when I sit back and look at when I came into the practice with Bruce, right? One of the cool things that we did right away, I arrived in the practice in late October. And so already, right at the beginning of January, I went over to the house one night, right at the beginning of the year. And he's like, okay, let's walk through. And so he kind of introduced me to some of the thinking in like, let's go through. So we looked at just even for the practice, right? We just pulled out all the production by procedure reports, looked at everything there, and then wrote out, here's what the office did for the year. Here's what it produced. Here's what it collected. And, you know, here's what the profits were, blah, blah, blah. We looked at everything there. And then what we did is we looked at then saying, okay, now based upon that, and based upon mid-October, November, December, when I just started, based on just that short snapshot, looking at that, let's set our year out target, right? So we did that. And I was like, all right. So then I put that number, we wrote the numbers up. We had like big post-it notes. We were writing stuff all over. Okay. What services do we want to add or subtract from the practice? Like, what do I want to bring in? And everything there. Wrote all that out. Is there any services that we want to retract? Yes. Wrote all that out. Okay. Then based upon our numbers and based upon what we can also predict hygiene is going to do, now, cool, we've got an end number for the practice, right? Now we just take and reverse engineer that all the way back through and look at, hey, when are we going to take vacation? When are we going to do this? And so then we had a breakdown from our yearly, then we broke it down to monthly production. And then when we know that, gosh, there's going to be months that I'm going to be out for a week. So now I got to break those months down. And here's the thing. Here's one of the best key things that I learned right away is that if I'm taking a week off or more, I'm not going to change my production goal. And that's one of the things that I learned from Bruce. I was like, wait a minute, how's that work? I was kind of like Scooby-Doo, like, wait a second, what happened? How does that work? He's like, no, you just change your hourly goal. I was like, oh, dude, that's huge. Okay, so then my team's got to know, all right, we're still guaranteeing the office that I'm going to produce this. But let's say that coming April, I'm going to be out for 10 days, right? All right, cool. Well, then now come March, I'm already feeding April with some of those bigger cases that I know, hey, this is going to blow me out of the water. I'm going to make my production goals, no problem. And then that way I don't screw over the office. I don't screw up bonus. I don't screw up any of that stuff. And I just stay in integrity with what I'm promising the office I'm going to do. So those are some of the things that I started to learn. So now I take that and I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And we wrote things out. And guess what? By writing out that number and then looking at it by the end of the year, I was like, holy shit, we actually hit that number. Or maybe we missed it by just this much. But even if you miss it by just this much, holy cow. I mean, it was one of those audacious numbers that you're like, whoa, this is crazy. But it then becomes reality. So then I started thinking, well, if this can operate this way. And then I started having other mentors and other coaches. And now we have an amazing system that I love that we call just the impossible games. And that is exactly that same scenario in a nutshell, but across those four areas that I was talking about earlier. So we set them up for our body. What is our health and our fitness goals or our targets for the end of the year, for 12 to 18 months out? What is going to be our perspective from our being perspective? So what do we want for our, I'm going to call it, for me, it's my relationship with God. What is going to be my goals for that or for my purpose, my soul purpose? What is going to be happening in that aspect? Then I'm going to look at what is going to be my relationship goals. So starting off with my wife, my kids, then people in my life, my friends, my other family members. And then what is going to be my final goals for my practice and my bank accounts? But here's the unique thing. I think that where most goal setting fails is I think most goals are kind of a broad spectrum thing. And I think most people don't write them down. And I think also too, where other things fail significantly is this. Most goals today for most people are based in what I would call fiction and fantasy. Because it's real easy to sit down and pull a number out of your ass, right? And be like, oh yeah, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to earn $10 million next year. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, wait a second. Dude, you don't have the capacity to do that, man. It's like, it's like the guy who's working at 7-Eleven cash register going, yeah, I'm going to earn $10 million next year. Unless you hit the lottery, it's not going to be too likely. It's the same thing for us. It's just a different scale, right? The reality is we really often as human beings don't take what Bruce and I did at the beginning. It's just look back and reflect over the whole last year and get a grounded sense of reality of this is exactly where I'm at today. And just like you talked about, Paul, what are the facts of today based upon those facts that I have today? Now, okay, what is it going to be my reality of what I want to create 12 to 18 months out? And then I look at it from a couple standpoints too. So I'll look at, here's my reality today. So here's my frame of today, exactly what's going on in each one of those areas. Then I'll say, okay, what would be a realistic jump from that? Maybe like 2X. 3x. Now, what would be a radical jump from that? Okay, now we're talking about like 5x. That's pretty radical. Okay, now what would be like an impossible game jump from this? That's like 10x. Oh shit, that's crazy. But if you sequence it that way and your brain starts to look at it logically, it makes more sense to go from here's my reality today to realistic to radical to impossible. Now you do exactly what Bruce and I did before. What do? You reverse engineer all of that back. And now you go, here's going to be my monthly focus. Do I know how the hell I'm going to reach what I'm going to reach in 12 months? Not a chance. Not a chance. But I do know that by the end of this month, here's where I better be to even have a shot at hitting that. And then I take that month and I reverse engineer that down into each week. And then each week, then I reverse down into each day. And then I just have my targets on my checklist then. And it works really well that way. But every day, it's cool because we've got an app. And now guess what? Like every night, I can sit there and look at my app. I can look at, here's my impossible game. So I can always look at that. Here's my monthly focus. Here's my weekly focus. Here's what I'm focused on this week. Now, tonight, do I need to take and course correct anything for tomorrow? Or am I good to go? Do I have my four things lined up that I need to make sure happen tomorrow? Or do I need to take and shift anything? Because I think that's one of the biggest things that happens with people is that even if we're good at setting goals or targets, that we set them and then we forget them. It's the key of staying consistently in front of you that allows you to always be thinking about that. Because if you're not thinking about it and it's not in front of you, it's just like the rest of life. Guess what? We get busy. You're like, man, I've been creating course stuff. I've been working till 4 or 5 in the morning. And like, you're just blowing and going. And you're like, man, I'm just killing it. It's real easy to put the blinders on to the rest of what's happening in the world. But if we consistently take the time to look forward while measuring back, now we can stay grounded in our sense of true reality and have the opportunity to course correct all along the way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You're talking like production goals and stuff in numbers. You went through like a transformation at one point, like in your personal life, like how do we do personal goals to make our lives more fulfilling so that we can bring a better version of ourselves to the practice?
Hey there, dental heroes. This is Dr. Doon from Colorado Surgical Institute. And I wanted to let everyone know that we have some awesome developments for our June 6th through 8th course. First, you know, we're going to be doing our full arch course, the whole photogrammetry, lateral sinuses, block grafting, you name it, with anything complex. We're going to be doing that with the entire digital workflow. And I'm also thrilled to introduce our pterygoid and zygoma experience. We have Dr. Riyad Al-Masri coming in. He is a phenomenal surgeon. He does very complex surgeries, and he's amazing to the point where he can explain and teach while he does these live patient surgeries on nasally intubated patients. And so we're going to have an observational day where you get to come and watch one of the best surgeons in the world do his thing here, and that's going to be on June 5th. Please reach out to us and call and text 970-420-6148. Ask for Chris Richards. He's going to be our director of the program, and he will help get you set up for anything that you're interested in.
That's such a great, great question. For example, like with my wife, right? We sit there and look at like, okay, what is our reality of today? Like, all right, so we typically go out on date night once a week. We're having sex 3 times a week or so. So we look at what is the reality of this today. And then we start to look at like, hey, where am I at with the kids? Like, how often are we going and doing things together? How often am I being in a date with them? Or what am I doing with them? So I'm looking at those personal type of relationships and what's actually happening now. Again, getting grounded in today's reality. And then looking at, okay, what do I have that can be measurable? What would I like to see happen within the next 12 months? Okay, what if we had 4 great trips, 3 of which are family, maybe 1 great trip where it's just my wife and I go extended 10 days, 12 days, whatever. And that's something that's now measurable. And now we start to look at, okay, what would those trips look like? Where would we want to go? All right, with the family, here's where we want to go. We want to maybe go to Florida, then we want to maybe go to the Bahamas, and we want to maybe go here, or we want to go skiing. And then we set it up that way. And now we've got something to start to then reverse engineer down. Okay, when are we going to do that? What dates work? Gosh, we've got kids in sports all over the place. And then we got to start looking at calendar and schedule. And my wife and I have to sit down like on a Sunday. Sundays are my days where I kind of plan out my week. And then my wife and I have a little meeting where we look at calendar and we sit there and go, okay, what do you have this week? What do I have this week? Let's look at things, review anything finance-wise, review anything calendar-wise, and then we can now be continuing to look forward to schedule things, right? And so then I also look at like, hey, my wife and I have got a great marriage, but what if I want to have like, and this is like one thing she said, she's like, what do you want this year for Christmas? I'm like, I don't want need anything materialistic-wise. I'm like, we're good. I'm like, I don't want for something, right? I'm like, you know what would be really cool? There's this guy, they call him the wizard, and he's just kind of like, I would call him like a marriage coach guy and everything. I'm like, I said, you know what I'd love? I said, I'd love if we just did like, I don't know, 4 or 5 sessions with this dude and just see what's legit and what can come about from that. I mean, all we do is learn to discover more about each other and really have an opportunity to improve our communication and everything. And so we've already done like a couple of sessions with the guy. I like it. He's funny. It's great. We both took this test called the Enneagram. And if you've never taken it, it's like, I don't know, it's like $15. But oh my gosh, it just nails the personalities. And like my wife and I were sitting there one night having a glass of wine each, and we're just reading each other's, just laughing. I'm like, this is you. She's like, this is so you. And I'm like, and we're reading our own. We're like, yeah, this is totally me, you know, and everything. But having the opportunities to look at those things is then how I start to always look at setting something that I know can be measurable, right? How do you set a being target? Like when you're looking at things with God and spirituality or the way that you're showing up and being, well, there's some other things that I think also come out of that from a productivity standpoint. Like I look at like my creativity is a flow through from a greater place, right? So some of my being is like, hey, I'm going to do 100 podcasts this year, or hey, I'm going to write a book this year, or hey, those are things to me that are like a being target. Because there's a certain way of creativity and a way that I've got to show up and a way of being that encompasses that creativity. And then when you look at, so health, that's easy to measure. You can look at things from body weight, body fat percentage. You can look at all kinds of things. You could look at saying, hey, I want to compete in a men's physique contest. You could look at all kinds of things. I've done a number of Spartan races over my time just to try different things, but to have something that I'm training for is a lot more fun, I've found, as opposed to just like lifting weights to lift weights. Like I've found like if I'm actually training for a race or do something like last year, I was like, you know what I've never done? I'm like, I've done Spartans that are like 14 miles or 12, 13 miles, like the beast. And that's like 30 obstacles and it's fun. And it's like you get through it and you're like, body is just dying. And but you're like, whoa, I survived, you know, and everything. And I've done things like that, but I've like, you know what I've never done? I've never even run like a half marathon. I'm like, I started looking at it and there was like the Fort Worth, it was the cow town. It was not this last year, the year before. And I was like, all right, I got 8 weeks. Cool. Let's make it happen. So I bought the ticket.
You did it.
Once you secure the ticket, you're in, man. And you're like, all right, now I got to train. Now I'm like, all right, what's an 8-week schedule to train for a half marathon? Oh, I better make out this month. And it was fun. But those are things that start to challenge yourself. All of those things come back to you in every way, in every aspect of life. If you're a guy or a gal that's not as physically fit and you're like, man, where do I start? Dude, it might just look like walking around the block. And then pretty soon you're doing 2 walks around the block and then 3 laps around, then 4. And you just start to build and you start to look at meeting somebody where they're at is so imperative these days because we all bring different things to the table. And we just need to look at saying, all right, what does this individual need and how can we get you to where you want to be in the shortest period of time? And I know that's what you do with your coaching and everything. You're like, listen, let me show you how to get to where you can be in the shortest period of time. I'm going to give you the opportunity to go down the tollway with me so we can get there a lot faster, as opposed to sitting over here on the freeway with cars all backed up, sitting in gridlock parking. Listen, let's take the expressway. Yeah, we're going to pay for the expressway, but I will pay for speed and efficiency every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because like, I feel like we get routine and it's one of those things. And I don't remember what I was reading, but it was saying something along the lines of that to spend time with people, often what we'll do is we'll watch television, watch a movie because it's easy. It's there. But the quality of that interaction and that togetherness is not as good as like getting outside, going for a walk or going for a bike ride or going somewhere and doing something. But the problem is it takes energy to get to those things. It takes a little bit more energy to get the bikes ready, put the, you know, stuff like that. And that's what I'm hearing you saying with these goals is that a lot of times we just go on autopilot and we don't set goals. And then we say, oh, I'm just not disciplined enough. But it's just we got to get them on paper and we got to get started. I find personally with my goals is when I really have to reach deep for discipline, I'm just reaching to get started. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not like I'm just like, hey, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do all these big, hard things today because I just love doing them. Right. I don't feel like it. But like, talk about that. And then kind of coming out of time, I want to get to the question segments. But like, yeah, if you could go on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
The requirement of discipline and that commitment and stuff. And how do we stay committed to the goals after we make them?
Go back to your, I can't remember what the statistic was because I remember reading something that was so funny. It was like shocking when they're like, the amount of time that you actually spend with your spouse was like, it was almost like under 30 minutes a day. Like when you, if you took out any time from the time that you ate dinner and that was some connection time there, maybe a little bit of talking and then somebody's watching a TV show, but not talking, the amount that you're actually talking and really connecting was so small. And I was like, whoa,
yeah, I believe it.
I was like, that is really remarkable. So you're right. Being prepared and also to being committed. And I think that's a huge part of commitment and discipline go hand in hand because I think first, you're right. There has to be clarity of like, what do I want? Because if you're not really clear on what you want, then it's very difficult to be disciplined about anything. Or if you don't have this desire or a why or a vision or a mission, if there's not any of that pulling you through, it's very difficult to be disciplined. It's very difficult to be committed. But when you have those things, then it makes it a lot easier to get out of bed and to go pull yourself towards that. So me, from my way, I look at it two ways. One, it's being committed to that bigger game of looking at saying, okay, I used to think this. I used to think, who do I have to become in order to fill in the blank? In order to have that house, in order to buy that car, in order to whatever it is, right? You can fill in your own blank for that. So who do I have to become? And then really kind of last year, I had this epiphany that was like, everything that we really need is already inside of us. So it just changed my thinking. Instead of who do I have to become, it's more like now it's who do I get to reveal? And that's just finding more of myself as time goes on and letting that individual expand and become more outgoing and be more outspoken or whatever that is. And it's really getting the opportunity to reveal. The discipline for me comes in from just going and looking at the results. Every time when I look at the results, that gives me the opportunity to go, okay, now this is my fruit. You can't argue with my fruit. My fruit is my fruit. You can call me all kinds of names. You call me all kinds of whatever, but you can't argue with my results. My results are my results that I've earned, whether they're good or they're bad. I get to own those. But when they are good, I get to own them. And that gives me, or it feeds me in a way in which now it wants me to continue to perpetuate that, to continue to go on and on and on. I've also learned to not just to swing for the fences and try to hit home runs all the time. I would much rather hit sweet little singles every day and then score the run on the fourth day as opposed to like trying to hit the home run every time and striking out 80% of the time or 90% of the time because that just doesn't work for me. So the discipline comes from my commitment to the bigger end game or the bigger vision. That's one significant key component. The other key component is I look at how do I find leverage? How do I find leverage to put on myself every day? So let me give you an example. I would be what you would consider maybe inherently lazy. I think as human beings, most of us are inherently lazy, right? Like I don't want to necessarily get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and like go pound out a hardcore training session in the gym. But then I sit there and I look at like, okay, heart disease runs pretty rampant in my family, in my familial history and genetically. Gosh, and I had a scare like a year and a half ago. I thought I was having a heart attack. I didn't. And it was more so just kind of some stress-induced things. I was selling a second practice at that time and had all kinds of things going on. Things were somewhat going sideways. And I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. I could be checking out of life now. So what I find for myself now is I find ways to put leverage on myself. And it's like, if I don't get up and train, then I'm giving in to the opportunities to check out of life a lot earlier. There gets to be that opportunity for the heart attack or the stroke or the weight to come back in. All of those factors can start to come into play. So when I start to think from that perspective, then I take it steps further and go, okay, well then if I have a heart attack and die and I'm not here, then guess what? Now somebody else is, let's face it, let's look at true reality. True reality would be my wife might be alone for a year, maybe a year and a half tops, but then she'll remarry. And then now, guess what? Now my kids are being raised by somebody else. All of these are factors, right? And maybe this is, again, we talked about crazy at the beginning. This is my crazy. This is how I put leverage on myself. So when I start to think all the way down the lines of that, of like, man, I don't want somebody else married to my wife. I don't want somebody else raising my kids. Okay, now it makes it really easy for me to get my ass up and get in and train. Now it makes it easy for me to get up and do the things that I require myself to do in order to put myself in a great place of power every single day. So now, dude, by the time I walk out my door, I've already won the day before I ever get to the office.
Yeah.
You know, I had a patient once, he asked me, he's like, Jeff, what time do you start in the morning? I'm like, can you clarify your question? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, do you mean what time do I start here at the office or what time do I start working on me? He goes, well, what do you mean? What time do you start working on you? So I started sharing with him. He goes, whoa. He goes, dude, that's crazy. I'm like, no, that's my reality because that's what is required, at least for me. I understand that can be not required for other people, but this is what's required for my crazy.
Well, I think it's good to point that out, the leverage thing, because I find that a lot of my goals, when I frame them in like, I guess like under the lens of what am I standing to lose? What am I standing to lose that I'm absolutely unwilling to lose if I do not? And I don't know if that's like a sign of pessimism or something's not right with me, or that's just the way my brain works. I find when I frame it in what could I lose versus what can I gain, or what am I avoiding losing versus what am I gaining? I find that's a lot more motivating. Just curious on what your thoughts with that would be. Is that a bad way, in your opinion, of framing it? I'm just curious.
Not at all. I think it's healthy because I think there's two components to that. And if you go to back to looking at why do people buy things, right? People buy things to either move towards pleasure or avoid pain, right? Typically. And to me, that's some of the same type of thinking, as well as, but you can actually put all of that into one group thing that just says people buy things or people move towards things that allow us to feel better. Anything that we're doing or drawing towards or purchasing in life, the game inside of that really is what we're chasing down is allowing us to feel better, and we're chasing down freedom. And those are the components that we start to look at. So if you look at it from a point, you can say it's either negative or it's pessimistic or any of those things. I look at it from the perspective of that is more so clear of what I don't want. And I have to know what I don't want also too, to know what I want. So I think those are equal halves for me. At least that's how I think of it from my perspective, is I have to know clearly what I don't want to have happen. And I have to know clearly what I want to, or what I desire to have happen.
Right. Yeah. So it's not as black and white as I'm making it. I mean, they're both totally. So, I mean, we're kind of coming up on time. Talk about, dude, the Limitless Dentist Academy. It used to be the Dental Syndicate, and this is, I remember you posted something about it on a Facebook group, and you got a lot of crap for only doing it for men.
Yeah.
You had a great response to it, because I know that you're not doing it. It's not to exclude the ladies.
No.
It's about masculinity and stuff, but people were, man, they were upset with that. Why can't I be part of this transformation as a female? This is a patriarchal society. But
yeah.
Talk about your program and why it's for men, I guess you should, maybe you should put that little asterisk in there. I think it's worth saying.
Twofold. And I will say this. Mark my words. By the end of this year, we are developing a program for women. I will not be leading it.
There you go.
It'll be the same type of curriculum. And I already have a female coach in mind who is going to be amazing. And we just got to get her through to make sure it all resonates and can be authentically felt and working in her life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm a big guy with integrity and authenticity. And if we can't have it that way, then we'll find somebody else and somewhere else to be. So the truth is that I do want this to be open for women. But the reality is that I don't want to coach women. And authentically, I don't feel I have a capacity where you can coach, doesn't matter, men or women in certain aspects. But for me, I can't identify with all of the difficulties or all the struggles that women face in our profession. Like, I'll never be able to feel some of those feelings or identify with those things. It really kind of disqualifies me from leading from that perspective because the way that I lead and the way that I coach, I like to coach from my experience. I don't want to coach from just philosophy. I don't want to say, hey, man, I read this amazing book. You should try this. Well, have you tried it, Jeff? No, but it sounds cool. I think you should try it. Well, no, that's not a cool way to lead. Let's lead from and speak from what we've done and how we've radically transformed our own lives. And from that aspect, now I can stand shoulder to shoulder with you where you're at in your life, and we can walk forward and co-create something together. So it is wonderful for me to be able to coach men in our industry because I also have a good understanding of what it feels like to be a man in our profession and also feels like to be in the struggles of life. And what I mean by that is like, look, and this is not to say that women don't feel some of these same things, but I know as a man, we create what I would call the trifecta of insanity. You own a practice, you throw in a wife, and then you throw in some kids on top of that. And that's the trifecta. And you put all those things together. Now you're trying to manage building a successful practice. You're trying to manage being an amazing husband. And you're trying to figure out, how do I show up and being a great father for these kids? And by the way, we've got kids that are going in every single direction because we've got sports over here. We've got school things, events over here. We've got all these things happening on this different basis. And I got to make sure that I produce well, and that I provide for my family, and that I also, guess what? I take care of all the people in my practice because they're relying on me to show up. My patients are relying on me to show up. And I better figure out how I can be a marketer, how I can figure out how I can be a manager and leader and businessman. There's just a lot. And last I checked, at least when I went to school, we got like zero training on business. We got no training on leadership. We got no training on managing any of those things. So you throw all those things into a conglomeration and you're like, why do I feel so overwhelmed? And you're like, what is that? And it's the reality of a lot of men when you sit down and look at it, you're like, yeah, I do feel like that. And part of it is like, not really speaking up about it because we start to feel like, well, there must be something wrong with me if I can't manage all that. We have this weird thing as dentists, we're like, I'm smart, so I should be able to figure it out, right? Like, I'm smart, so I should be able to figure it out. Meanwhile, we've never had any training on it. So it doesn't matter if you're smart or not. You can get there by reading thousands of books or whatever it takes to get there. And by it might take you 10 years and you might be divorced, fat, overweight, and ready to commit suicide by the end of it all. Or you might look at it and say, whoa, time out. I'm realizing that I'm struggling here and I really need some support and I really need some guidance. How do I get to where I want to be? And how do I do that without burning down my life, without burning down my wife, and without burning down my kids? How do I do that without burning down my body and causing it to break down from all the difficult things that we do and put ourselves through in contortionist style of dentistry sometimes? And how do I take care of my health and where I don't come home and feel like I have to have a hard cocktail to just chill the fuck out after a hard day? And how do I just take and manage all of that? And I think as a man, to me, at least those were some of the things that were keeping me up at night. If you're early on in your practice and let's say you're like 4 or 5 years out and your practice is really starting to kind of hum along, and now you start to add in all the new family and all those things. These are some of the things that you start to experience. At least that's also what a lot of the guys that I get to coach, they come into play with that. And then I also get guys that have been in the game for a while too, that are like, man, I've just plateaued and I feel like I've just kind of lost my purpose. I feel like I've just kind of blah. I'm not excited about the practice anymore. I'm not getting the fulfillment that I've gotten out of there. Then you got to just look at what's the next level look like for you. So some people, it's kind of like, hey, I've got 3 flat tires and I'm really, or some people, their car's up on blocks, man. But then there's some people that are just like, I've got 1 flat tire. I just need this to get up. That's what I talked about. When we look at meeting somebody, we've got to meet somebody where they are. So for me, it is all about that human performance built on a baseline or a foundation of truth and integrity. And mostly what I'm talking about, truth and integrity for yourself. If I look at defining integrity, that to me is like, all right, how can I stand in the light, not hide anything in the shadows of the darkness, feeling whole and complete and lacking nothing? That to me is perfect ability of integrity. Or if you put it into one word, it would be workability. Just like spokes on the wheel. You take a spoke out, that wheel starts to collapse. And the integrity is that slippery slope. See, there's 2 lies. There's lies of commission and there's lies of omission. And I think the lies of omission that we don't tell, or that we keep to ourselves, or that we try to even keep from our own self, those are the things that start to cause this slippery slope. And then it's easy to go downhill. And then what we see is then we start to see, as our tolerance goes up, our standards go down. And what we want to do is inversely take that the other way. Let's bring our tolerance of things down as we watch our standards rise. Because when we can create standards, now we've got something to uphold. Standards for ourselves. So we start out with leading ourselves. Then we can lead our family more powerfully. Then we can lead our teams more powerfully. And that's what I love too about leadership inside of the practice. It really comes down to creating amazing standards and having an amazing culture. And guess what? When our standards are so clear, it becomes very black and white for management. Because now it becomes a simple question. Are you living up to what we agreed upon and what we created for the standards in the practice? Yes or no? Yes? Great. Let's keep doubling down. No? Awesome. Now we've got it figured out. Let's course correct and let's get back on track. And it becomes so much easier to manage, right?
Yeah. I love that you say that, because it is. That's what's lacking, is that black and white. And some people would say, gosh, a practice with very high standards would be a very difficult practice to work at because there's such high standards. And I would beg to differ. I would say that's a more easier, predictable place to work at.
Yes.
But yeah.
And more fun place.
Yeah. But hey, Jeff, tell us about your academy.
Yeah.
Because then we gotta wrap it up.
All right, brother. Yeah. So yeah, the Limitless Dentist Academy is awesome. It's a hybrid type of scenario. So we've got online learning and we've got a mastermind group. We meet weekly. I love it. I lead all the calls. We've got an amazing group of men in there. And really, the curriculum can be completed anywhere between 3 months and 6 months. It's kind of a nice thing because it allows an individual to kind of go at their pace. Mm-hmm. I've done cohort style in the past, and to me, it's just not my thing because you're smashing everybody through in a certain time frame and it's so confining. And look, man, life happens. We've got stuff that comes up. We've got family things. We've got commitments and everything there. So I found this to be much more fulfilling. The guys love this pace a lot better. And they get great results. So we rock that out. So that's there and it's super fun. I love leading that. And then from there, we've got a live event coming up in June down in Puerto Vallarta. And that's going to be also on some of what we're talking about. That's called the Expansion Protocol. And that's exactly looking at goal setting. So if you're not on target for this whole first part of this year, let's get you on target for the next half of the year so we can win going into 2025. And so that's kind of what we'll be focusing on there. But yeah, man, I am loving having this opportunity to coach. For me, it's as exciting as being able to do full arch implants, because the transformations that you create, and I don't create, that the men create for themselves. I'm just a co-creative part of the process, guiding along the way. But watching that unfold is so fulfilling. And there's just amazing emotional paychecks with that.
Yeah, there really is. What's your website if they want to get some more information and check out the seminars or the academy? And I'm hoping somebody listening was like, dude, this is my wake-up call. It's time for me to get more intentional about what I'm doing with my life before it passes by. So what's the website?
Yeah, if you look up just limitlessdentistacademy.com, www.limitlessdentistacademy.com, that's easy right there. And also the best way to get in touch with me is literally on Instagram. It's dr.jeff, J-E-F-F, Buske, B-U-S-K-E. Very easy is my handle on Instagram. You can find me on there. I've got a bunch of content on there. You can listen to my podcast, Jumpstart with Jeff. So I just try to look at giving away content that I know can spur you to think differently and to take an idea and integrate that into a lesson that you can start to immediately apply in your life. That's what a lot of the content that I create is.
I love it, man. And dude, thanks for coming on the show and talking about this stuff. I love talking about this stuff. I know if I just spent like a week, I spent that time with you in Colorado Springs, and I don't know how deep we got into stuff like this, but I feel like I walked away from our interactions feeling better and having a little bit more direction. I don't know if that was your intention in that conversation. I don't think it was. We were just shooting it, but
yeah,
I love that you're this voice for this in dentistry. I think it's so needed, and I think there's a lack of vulnerability and authenticity in our profession with a lot of people on the podium, and it bothers me because I think there's nothing to hide. I think we can put our, like you say, authentic selves out there, and people take it or leave it. This is it. But man, I thank you for coming on the podcast. Thanks for all you do in dentistry. It was a great time.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Were you one of the lucky dentists that got a tax surprise this year? Nothing like thinking that you have more money only to get that wiped away by a tax return. Or are you wondering why you are driving blind all year long, not knowing what your expenses are, what they should be, or how they compare to other dentists just like you? Enter Bull Moose Financial, a full-service accounting firm to handle your payroll, bookkeeping, tax compliance, tax returns and filings, as well as tax planning. And by tax planning, I mean knowing what you're going to owe well before the year is even over. I'm Paul Etchison, and I endorse working with Bull Moose. They were my CPA for many years, and if you want a responsive dental-specific CPA that will free you up from the burden of bookkeeping, payroll, and be attentive to your special needs as a dental practice owner, go to bullmoosefinancial.com. That's Bull, B-U-L-L, moosefinancial.com. Mention the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, and they will waive your $2,000 onboarding fee. So sign yourself up, and rest assured you know your CPA is doing all they can do to help and support your dental practice.